Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had some exciting assignments over the weekend, so here we go. On June 5th, for the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about the focus you've chosen. As you go about your day, keep your focus in awareness. Notice and jot down what the voices say. On Saturday, notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment: review the statement from the voices that you've jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices. She's not going to like what I have to say. Belief: it's not possible to tell people what they don't want to hear in a way that won't upset them. And then on Sunday, before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment: review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Example: exasperated. This can't go on for much longer. You have to bring this to her attention. She's making everyone miserable. If you don't address it, who will? What are you afraid of anyway? Accommodating. Let it go. It's not such a big deal. There's going to be so much ill feeling if you bring this out in the open. Is it really worth it? Voice of experience. You know she's going to lash back. Are you prepared for that? Why bother? It's not as if she's going to take you seriously and alter her behavior anyway. Victim. Why does she put me in a position of having to call her on it? Can't she be sensitive enough to know what she's doing and how it's affecting all of us? I hate having to put up with this, and I hate having to be the person who deals with it. Head in the sand. Maybe if you ignore it long enough, you won't have to deal with it. It's amazing,
what a team,
when we get it out from our head and put it down like that, how universal it sounds, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it sounds universal, and it just sounds like, oh, oy. How do we? No wonder people don't want to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. What do you
see? Well, the first thing I saw was just really exciting that it's the same process for participation that it was for control and for receiving.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that keeps me, the thing that directs my attention is the thing that keeps me from showing up to receive and keeps me from stepping forward to participate.
And controls you.
Yes. That's how, that's how it keeps me from receiving and participating, is the way it controls me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, isn't that good to see?
Well, it's really encouraging, actually, because it's not seven problems. It's really one thing.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Go ahead.
And the other thing that really jumped out at me was, what was it? Now, the belief that sort of lies underneath it is that I'm really nothing without ego. I need to be careful and plan and think and listen to it, or else dreadful things will happen. And just like, and that's kind of this underneath all of it. Like, wow, I don't even know that I'm hearing that voice, but that's what it's saying.
Yes. And of course, the fascinating part is it threatens that what's going to happen to us is what it's already doing to us.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't listen to and be controlled by that voice in your head, you're going to be unhappy and feel bad, be anxious and stressed, you know, whatever else the experience is, which is exactly what it's producing. So when it says, you're going to feel this, we go, oh, my God, I don't want to feel that. How do I know that? Well, I'm already feeling it.
Yeah.
So here's an image, yeah. Brian, that you'll appreciate. Here's an image you'll appreciate. It's a dog chasing its tail.
Yeah, it kind of is. I see that. It really is a tight process loop there. That it's already, you know, the process is the outcome. It's already happening inside that conversation, and it's still, you know, it's still the conditioning is to not believe it's as simple as dropping the conversation. But I look at the experience. It's like maybe it is. Let's keep trying.
Maybe it is. What if it is?
Yeah. That is exciting. So, yeah.
I love the line, Brian. It's not seven problems, it's one. And of course, when we really, you know, as we step back, when we realize it's not 70 problems, it's one. Okay? Or it's not 700 problems, it's one. And that, because that's what ego is doing to us constantly, is making, you know, just change it a little tiny bit and present it. Then change it a little tiny bit and present it. And we're trained not to recognize, wait a minute, now this is familiar. I think that was the same as, yeah.
Well, and the thing that just dropped when you said that is what it's doing is it's always angling it such to make itself relevant in a way that makes, that keeps me reflexively turning to it rather than dropping it. You know, like that was sort of the underneath all those conversations, underneath the afraid and the critic and the avoidance or whatever, you know, those were my ego aspects that showed up. But like, it's all about pay attention to me because you're nothing without me.
That's right. And that will hook us, right? But the real message is pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me.
Right. If it doesn't care about me, it's not. Like,
no.
It's just
the me is it.
Yeah.
The me is it. That's right. It doesn't care. You could die tomorrow, and it would not care a whit. Right. All it wants is human attention, and it'll just find another human that'll give it attention. No problem.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging. It's also like sort of re-energizing for not caring how I feel.
Exactly.
You know, 'cause it wants to tell me how I feel, and I don't even know how I feel half the time, I think. So.
That's right. Well, it wants you to feel bad, because that's how you're going to look to it to solve your problems.
Yeah, with a little lie, not a little lie, but the lie that if I look to it, then I won't feel bad. Because I'm already feeling bad, like you said. I'm already experiencing what it's threatening me with.
The thing that, of course, finally pushes us over the brink is it never works.
No.
It makes me feel bad, tells me if I do what it says, I won't feel bad. I do what it says, I feel bad. After a while, we go, okay, we got to look somewhere else. This is good.
Yeah.
Now we wake up. All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. And Sherry, we never catch the lie, right? Because it's not that we are nothing without it. It's nothing without our life force. That's why it wants us to pay attention all the time, right? I mean, it's not. Yeah. You have to defend. I mean, that's the con artist in complete Technicolor, where it's such a great sleight of hand to smoke and mirrors to make it seem as if it's not talking about itself, it's talking that we're talking about ourselves because we're its voice, right?
Yes, exactly so. Yeah. And as we know, down the road, what we're looking for is right here. It's letting us know exactly what we need to see. We just can't recognize it. We're trained not to recognize it. Yeah.
I think if we could get pronouns you and I to be referencing ego and not the human being, we would hear things very differently.
Yeah, well, that's such a good point, because the folks who came up with the language, the way the language evolved, you know, if we look at ego as a universal, which it seems to be, what we get to is every language has human beings referring to themselves as I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So there it is. And if, just pick our language, if, as you say, we had different pronouns for all of this, we would be way ahead of the game. We would be hard to fool. Mm-hmm. But it's all the same. I, me, mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you.
You. And you. Yeah.
All right.
Here's about you.
Yeah. Lethal self-hating pronoun. Okay.
Right.
Here it is. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina. What are you seeing?
Hi. I'm sorry I'm on speaker and I can't get off. So
no, you're fine. You sound great.
Quiet.
Sound wonderful.
They won't come barging in.
Oh, well, if they do, they do. Just like the voices we were just talking about, right?
Exactly.
Everybody comes barging in and we deal.
Isn't that the truth? And and so I've been really looking at how the need to have constant practice reminders all day, and if I could figure out a way to do it all night where I'm not like pulling out wires and things, that would be helpful too. Because it really, I feel as though the clearer I get, really the more intense the practice is getting. You know, it's like just these huge extremes of clarity and then just like pulled right
terrifying
in.
Ignorance.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and just like this in fear, you know, just this like, you know, identification with everything is wrong. And
And Christina, that, I mean, what you're seeing, that is so, right? So if, say, and I'll say this because I know it's not true, say you were involved in an abusive relationship and you decided to leave that abusive relationship. Do we think that the clearer you get about that, the less abuse there will be?
Right.
No.
Right.
Quite the opposite, right? And so that's where you're getting to see ego. It you know, if people will just go along with it, if you'll just give it your life force, just be in conversation with it all day long and all night long, that's really all it asks. But you are in pursuit of authenticity, and it cannot allow that, because as we were just saying, if that conversation drops, so does ego. So it's fighting for its life, and it just escalates and escalates and escalates and escalates, because almost everybody will quit. It just gets too scary. It's too depressing. Yeah. It's too overwhelming.
Yeah, and at the same time as I'm experiencing all of that, and, you know, there's just moments of, I think, I don't know if I can go on. You know, especially at night.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm actually in a place right now where I'm just angry, because I feel like it keeps me from, and this is perfect for this month, of course, it keeps me from wholehearted participation in the things that occur to me to do, right? Like things that I might actually find a lot of joy in participating. And it's just so, so I have that anger that comes up too. Like, I'm just mad about it. Like, I just, you know, I just want to be able to do what I say I want to do. You know, that sounds egocentric, and maybe it is, I don't know, but I'm feeling all of that right now, which is a little bit different than before, or than I think I felt in the past.
So it's going from, yes, it is ego, okay, which you're onto, but it's going from, why is this happening to me too? Damn it. Why is this happening to me? Right? And so, it is. That is what it is. And there's a lot more energy in it. Yeah. So you can actually grab that energy as soon as you see that anger and just say, I'm not wasting this energy on anger. I'm going to do what I want to do.
I feel like
then you look around.
I can't move.
And life.
You
can't always.
I can't always move from anger into action. It's like, you know, I can't grab. I don't know how. I don't think.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And so it's a little harder if, say, of course, you're probably working from home, right?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so good. Close the door and dance. It's something you're familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just take that energy and turn it into physical movement that really takes care of the body. Get it, because that's a big part of how it does it. So first of all, it locks all that energy, that life force, into the body and then siphons it off, right?
Yeah.
So there's the from anger to depression. Because, of course, if you get angry, that makes you the wrong person, and that's depressing, right? And so you just take that energy and use it for you. Then you could follow it up with a quick record and listen, right? And then turn your attention to what it is that you want to do.
I love that. So dance. Quick record and listen, and then, you know, drop in.
Get on with it.
Yeah. I love that.
With whatever, and it'll probably work.
Right.
You know, through a lot of it, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be participating in something you love. And it can also be with the family, with the whatever.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that clarity.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let us know how it goes, okay?
I will.
It is a really good formula, because that's what we're doing constantly. We're grabbing our lives back from that system. And of course, the one that we underline constantly is get out of the conversation.
Yeah.
So anytime you find yourself in a, quote, negative conversation, you say, I'm not having that conversation. I want to talk about, and then talk about what you want to talk about. I want to talk about what I love. I want to talk about what I'm enthusiastic about. I want to talk about what I want to do with my life. And
would you do that with the recorder? Because I find I'm in that negative conversation a lot these days.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, turn on the recorder. I've been hearing a negative conversation. What the voices are saying is blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to believe that. I don't want to live there. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to support ego. Sick of supporting ego. Lazy bum. Okay? I want my life, and this is what I choose instead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So keep your recorder when you're not typing.
Yeah.
Keep your recorder in your right hand. Okay?
Okay.
Just keep it right there. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Christina. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Christina. Sherry, going back to our conversation with Brian, it's the belief is that we are victim to it, either anger towards it or feeling victimized towards it, and therefore we have no control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so not true, because there's such an easy
mechanism.
If we didn't dip into that perspective, that ego perspective, then we would be able to see our liberation, which is simply our attention, right? Because we turn away from it. And so it's so important to recognize the energy of that in whatever way it is, and redirect that energy, as you just pointed out, to what is actually true. And as soon as we do that, we've released ourselves from being victimized by it, right? We're not actually helpless to the victimization.
We are. We're told that we are. And what I saw, you did this recently, from one of the books, Hello Life, I'm Available. You know, if we would just stop and say, it's why prayer has been popular, right? Mm-hmm. So life, I'm struggling here. I need some help here. And just that is going to shift the focus enough that ego is not being maintained. We are back where with who we are, with authenticity. Now pick up the recorder and talk about it.
Well, and you know, Sherry, you make a very good point, because it's my experience that when I cry uncle and say that to life, mm-hmm. it's almost mm-hmm. as if that is the surrender of the final ego place, which believes it can make the difference to itself, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
when yes. that has to go before life will rescue me, right?
So that's right. We have to ask to be rescued.
Yes. Yes.
Life is not going to force rescue on us.
Right. You have to surrender yeah. the ego, right? There,
mm-hmm.
that's really important. Okay, well, here's our mm-hmm. next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Who is this?
Ah, sorry, I had headphones in. It didn't, I guess the mic doesn't work on the headphones. Hey, it's Zoe from New Jersey.
Hey, Zoe. Hey, Zoe, what are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing a lot, especially last focus was really, really big for me, the receiving piece.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I saw a lot there, and that was wonderful and excellent. But this focus, I seem to be stuck on the very first assignment. So I don't, you know, I'll try to keep it brief, but let's see. Yeah, so I asked for some outside assistance from actually my husband, because I thought he might be able to provide some insight, you know, that I wasn't somehow able to see. Because mm-hmm. what I did see was that everything that came up felt like it was coming from a right-wrong duality perspective sort of place.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example, Zoe?
Yeah, like, it might be true, but so, like, okay, well, you know, let's see, there were two examples of not, of like ways I'm not allowed to participate with ego and blocking that participation in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One was alcohol, of course, because that's an ongoing struggle, and that being like, oh, well, that's preventing me from participating by being present in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, but that feels like it's coming from that right-wrong duality as well. And then there was participating in practice opportunities, being stopped from doing that because of the, you know, money aspect, you know, like that's how it's mm-hmm. controlling me.
Well, so did you get to one? Because I have an idea.
Well, no, I didn't get to one. What is your idea?
Okay. My idea is alcohol.
Okay.
And here's the reason.
Uh-huh.
Because it is such an ongoing that ego uses to control you. And so
right.
there are two elements of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One is when we go up against something. So we just started an email class. I just started it today. I'm so excited. I'm just wound up like a 9-day clock. and so there is seeing the story for what it is. And so for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying process map it.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Get it,
yeah.
Get it on a process map. Watch it. Now, what
mm-hmm.
ego wants you to believe is, okay, if I do that, I'm going to quit drinking and I'm going to not drink for the rest of my life.
Right.
And
right.
And I don't want that. Right? But that's
mm-hmm.
not what we're talking about here. We're talking about seeing how you're controlled, how you're kept from receiving and participating. That's all. Once you see that, if you want to drink alcohol, you're free to drink alcohol. You
so
will
the
have
thing
seen,
I saw, oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You will have seen how you're controlled, which is a
right.
process, which has nothing to do with content of alcohol or workshops or
right.
marriage or work or anything else.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so I saw the underlying belief through the last session was that I have to be the right person before I can participate. And
yeah.
it was it sounds really simple. It was really profound for me to see that.
Ooh, it's huge.
Because I really saw how, like, I have to be the perfect person before I can even receive practice or participate or any of that. So,
well, and Zoe, it's mm-hmm. it's even bigger than that, right? You have to be the perfect person before you can be accepted, before you can be
yes,
loved.
Yes.
So
I got
all,
to that.
All of
with
the,
it.
Yeah, all of the goodness of life is withheld
yep.
if you're not the perfect person. And that's one of those, okay, what if we start with a different premise?
and I hear people talking about that on the show, the you know, deserving, you know, like the premise that I have to deserve something and not that I'm inherently, you know, authenticity.
That's
so,
right.
Well.
Yep. Okay. One day at a time, as they say in AA. Right, because every day that you focus on this is a day mm-hmm. when you're going to watch everything that ego does to control you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, and you got to write it down. You got to get it on that process map so
mm-hmm.
that you can see it for what it is. You can mm-hmm. know. I can know. Everybody listening in can know. This has nothing to do with whether you're going to drink alcohol. When after you get to the end of this process map, okay?
Right?
Don't
that's
tell the voices that. You
yeah,
don't need to tell the voices that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They may not be listening in.
That's what they would want me to believe, that I'll be the
yes.
perfect person if I solve this. So yeah.
That's exactly right. Yes.
And then I'll be able to do practice right after
yes,
I solve that. Like as if I like can magically get there before I do.
Well,
yeah. Anyway,
spoiler alert.
It's crazy.
Spoiler
nonsense.
Alert, Zoe.
Spoiler
alert.
Yeah.
Okay. You already are the perfect person. Okay. And that's what gets revealed. You are.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. You
mm-hmm.
are. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank
keep
you.
Keep us posted. Thank
right.
you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Bye.
Thanks, Zoe. Sherry, I think we can squeeze in another caller. Here we go. Next
okay.
caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Janet from England. And,
hello, Janet.
Hi. Hello
what
again. Well, I just had a wonderful flash when you were saying surrender to life. And my perspective, it sounds funny, it's actually surrender to the recorder.
Yes. Life in a little tiny suit. Yes.
Surrender to the recorder. I mean, I've been having very substantial morning blues, and my conditioning has been saying that if you don't get up early and you don't stick to a morning routine, then you have blown the day. And so that's really been sitting on my energy. I've been really drowning in I've spoilt it now. I've completely spoilt it, and I don't do enough and all that kind of stuff. And then just as mm-hmm. you were talking about surrendering to life, I realized that I did surrender to the recorder a couple of mornings ago and did the most beautiful 3 or 4 minutes of just simply, I love you and I'm with you. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, mm-hmm. and surrendering to the recorder, that seems to be what my conditioning is most frightened of me doing.
Yeah, and so two things. One, don't own that conditioning. It has nothing to do with you. It's just some, you know, it just, it's like butter on toast, okay?
Yeah.
The toast is there, and then the butter gets layered on. That's what happened with conditioning and with us. Okay, so not your conditioning, it's just some hogwash that happened to land in your family. Okay, so there's that. And the second thing, Janet, that occurs to me for you and the recorder to do in the mornings is, and this is kind of like Zoe and alcohol, okay, to take on a practice of attempting to ruin a day.
Okay.
You in life set about a project to ruin a day. Okay. I do it for a few days. Do it for a week or so. Okay, so you go to bed at night, and you know that when you get up in the morning, you and the mentor are going to talk about how a day gets ruined.
Right.
What that means, what that even means. Okay? So a day is automatically ruined if you don't get up early? Huh. Is that true? Do we really, is that actually true? Do people who don't get up early automatically have ruined days? What if that's not true? So you and the mentor to explore that. Well, what actually would ruin a day?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
I'm getting there. What it's just sprung to mind is that I write some poetry, and I was just thinking, with everything that's gone on and is going on, all we need now is a plague of locusts. And I thought that would be a good line to start a poem with. And then I just saw a Mary Oliver poem online, and I thought, why would I want to waste my time talking about waiting for the locusts when Mary Oliver stands in the sunshine and just loves the trees?
Counts leaves. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So that's the kind of thing, right? To really, I mean, what you're going to be doing, so now you are, I don't know what you are, you know, you're a detective, right? And so there's been this crime committed, and everybody assumes all of the evidence is, but you know that can't be the case. And so you're going to examine this assumption that everybody is operating from, everybody being the voices in your head.
Yeah.
Okay? All
I
right.
Got it.
To take it on.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Okay.
Go happy.
Thanks, Janet. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of a fabulous show. Our assignment for today: our definition of a subpersonality, aspect of ego, is a collection of beliefs, assumptions, and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Assignment: take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you. And from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month, RL what you notice. Example: head in the sand believes that avoiding unpleasant things is a good strategy. If you ignore a problem long enough, it will resolve itself. One just needs to distract oneself till that happens. Almost anything can be denied out of existence.
That's great. And so that is exactly the process that we were just encouraging Janet to take on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Christina. And right? It's exactly that, to laser focus on something and examine it at that level.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.